going to be a story about Jesus. Jesus, he was a teacher, wasn't it? He was a lot among people. And he shared. And not everybody really liked what he was saying. Some people, they thought it was good. But other people, they were listening critical. And this is where this story starts, in the Bible. There was a man among crowd where Jesus was. He was actually who had actually studied the laws of Moses. And he stood up. And then he asked the question to Jesus to test him. He said, "What do I need to do in order to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus responded to him and said, "Well, you have studied the laws of God. What does it read?" And he said, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul or life, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "You've answered well. Do, and you'll live." But the man, he wanted to make himself right before God. So he asked Jesus another question. He said, who's now my neighbor? And Jesus responded, "There was a man who traveled from the city of Jerusalem, and he went down to the city of Jericho. And while he was on the way, there were robbers that attacked him. And they beat him and took off all his clothes. And they left him for almost dead. A little bit later, there was a man who came by. You know what? He was actually a man who was serving God. He was a priest. Now, we kind of have an idea of a priest is, most of us anyway. And, you know, he was supposed to be honoring God with his life. He came, and as he was coming, he walked by on the other side, and he went on his way. Later, there was another man who was also supposed to be serving God. He was of the tribe of the Levites, the group of people of Israelites that were descendants from Levi. And likewise, he came to that place, and he saw the man, and he went around him on the other side and went on his way. But then, there was a man, actually from a neighboring area, a Samaritan. And he came by, and he saw the man, and he had compassion on him. And he knelt down, and he bound his wounds, and he put oil and wine upon him. And then he had an animal with him, and he put him on the animal. And he took him with him to a place where he was staying for the night. And as he was there, he took care of the same man, and then in the morning when he was leaving, he gave money to the innkeeper. I don't have anything real, but you probably would love it if I gave you a couple of dollars, right? But then what he did is, okay, take care of this man. And if this is not enough, he says, "I will come back and I will pay the difference." Then Jesus said, "Okay, now, which of these three men is like a neighbor?" The man who had studied the law said, "Well, the one that showed compassion, that showed love to him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And that's the end of the story. All right. If I ask, well, let me ask, how many have heard this story before? Don't be afraid to put up your hands. Okay, it's just about everybody here, okay? And you say, "Well, I think I knew that story." Okay, that's good. Anybody wants to retell it then? Anybody ready? Oh, don't know it that well. Okay. Well, let's get into that story and try to repeat it together. Yeah? So, who are all the persons in this story? What are some of the characters? Jesus is one. Asking them the questions. There was indeed a man who had studied the laws. Yes, the priest, I heard. Levite, Samaritan, bunch of thugs. Oh, I like that, you know, because that's the way it communicates to you, and that's what they were. I need to watch out when I work with people to use the right kind of words. Because if I use words that don't communicate, and obviously I communicated the right word to you, because you knew what it was in your language. Thugs, that even was more like, man, they really were that. Yeah. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Police officer.
Ah, former police officer, no wonder, you know. All right, so we have got the thugs in there. Who else? The victim, yes. Innkeeper, all right. Hey, yeah, I know somebody has to get the donkey in there, but wait a minute. There I go actually back to the scriptures and say, okay, in the Greek, does it say donkey there or the animal he had with him? Now, for us, it doesn't maybe really matter that much, okay? And some translations use donkey. And the people that are in that area, if they already have translations that use donkey, they're going to have to consider this. But I bring it to them in this way. We need to make sure it's as accurate as possible. And if this works, donkey works best, and that's the only way it communicates, you see it in translation, that's all right. But it's a more generic word. It is indeed animal that he had with him. Like a domestic animal. Animal of burden. It could have been actually a horse. Could have been a camel. Yeah. But let's go with the donkey, that's all right. The reason why I'm saying that, in some other times in the Bible, when we change it to more specific, it can change out the meaning of the story. And I have to be very careful. And I don't want to automatically then put those, you know, assumptions there, okay, this is the animal it is, because they're familiar with the animal. And I, in one point, I brought this student, and they said, no, we want to make it actually animal, because, you know, you're helping us understand this is God's word, and we want to keep it as accurate as possible, as clear as possible, and as natural as possible. So we're going to use thugs for sure, you know, but we're not going to say donkey here. Yeah? So those are things that the choice is being made to make sure the story communicates accurately, clearly, naturally, in a way that it speaks to the heart. And when I tell it, that you can get into this story instead of like, you know, you kind of, okay, I can memorize this story if I just practice enough and I have the words right. No, the story needs to become yours. And that's the whole part of the process, what we're doing. So I'm going to go back to the story. We'll start off with the story now. You've already told me the people that are in it. What person does the story start off with? Does it start off with Jesus, okay? What did I say about Jesus? Basically, it was a man who was a teacher of the law, had studied the law. He stood up. What did he do? He asked a question. Why did he ask that question? There's a story tell us in the Bible. To test Jesus, to prove Jesus, yeah. What was his question? Okay, now you said, what do I need to do to have eternal life, right? Was that the word? I hear somebody say inherit. Is there a difference? Yes. What's the difference between inheriting and having? Can I do anything to inherit? No. Why? It's who I am in relation to someone else. That's right. Okay, so that's quite different. That word is in there. And he knows that. He doesn't say just have. No, it's not wrong. Many translations actually even say have. But the word there is inherit. When I share this with the people there, this rings home. Even if they don't have an inheritance typically in their culture, they know the difference between something you get because of who you are and what you get that you can actually earn or do something for. And that is important, because can we earn what God is giving us? No. So God simply also tells him, okay, so you have studied the law. You tell me. And what does he say? The teacher of the law responds. In response, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul or strength or life, actually, and then all your strength, and then all your mind. And then? Okay, love you. Neighbor like yourself. Now, I know some of you have been in South Africa with a choir here, and you may have picked up some Afrikaans there. And Afrikaans actually does not use neighbor, they use naaste. Now, typically, we think of a neighbor as somebody that's living next door. Or your neighbor's right here in the pew is the person sitting next to you. But nasta actually has a broader meaning. It plays more into actually what this story is about. Especially when I was with groups that knew the Afrikaans as their second language, they right away went, oh, it's more like the nasta, isn't it, than actually that somebody's living next door. Because listen, as the story goes on, we'll find out something about that, isn't it? But we're not there yet, so I can't tell all that stuff to you, because then you don't help me figure out what the story is all about. Because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to draw people out so they are the ones who are learning directly from Scripture. I'm not teaching them. Well, because if I teach, it's my truth, and you're going to have to accept it. If you discover it, it's your truth, and you can defend it. And that's a total different perspective of God's Word. Then when others come along, it's not anymore whatever they say. Or if somebody else better comes along, whatever he's teaching better. No. You've discovered that from yourself, from God's Word. That's why it's important for people to have God's Word and not only preaching or doctrine. Because some other doctrine comes along, now which one is right? Yeah? And there's a lot of that stuff out there. I mean, it's unbelievable. So in this case, we want to stick with the words that really communicate best. Now, what happens next? Jesus praises this man, right? He says, well, go, he will live. But then, he wants to make himself what? Right before God. He's justifying himself. That's the word we often use. For most people in other worlds, that's one of those difficult words, justify. So if they make themselves right before God, they understand that, because I'm doing something to get myself right before God, and God, it's not God doing that. And he says, but who is my neighbor? And then Jesus launches in the story that we know so well. What happens first? He goes from Jerusalem to? Okay, now this is a man that is on this road. What happens to him? He gets beat up by these thugs. Right. And you know what? He's left there, what? Almost dead, right. Hey, but you listened real good to that one, didn't you? Not half deaf anymore. You're not going to go through that one again, huh? And so, he's left that way. He's basically stripped from all his clothes and everything. Now, what happens? Is anybody coming by? A priest. Now, priest is somebody you set aside to actually serve God. Yeah, but you know what? Joe, I've known you a long time. How about that this priest, he was on his way to the temple. He couldn't defile himself. I mean, don't you understand that? Then he couldn't serve in the temple anymore. Yeah. I've heard people give that as an excuse. Then the Levite, who is he? He's also a servant of God. Also in the temple aspect, that he has a role that is a testimony that is supposed to be for God. And what does he do? Pass by like I did twice, didn't you? There's another person, isn't it? Samaritan. Now, even if people don't know where he's from, it will still have the same meaning. But see, I'm now with a crowd that knows a little bit more about it. At least a lot of you do. And I'm going to add that this morning, because I want to communicate to you also at your level. Now, this Samaritan was a foreigner, to the Jews anyway. Besides that, did they really like the Samaritans? Yeah. No. Now, the story doesn't say so, so we don't have to make it a big deal, but it's very interesting. We know that the Jews necessarily don't like them, and so this guy is doing what? He is the one that helps. And what does he do? Yeah, he puts him on his animal, but there's a little bit before that, doesn't he? Okay, he basically, it says, yeah, he kneels down, puts wine and oil, and I sometimes have to explain that too, because it's like, okay, we only drink wine, and people drink wine, and that kind of relates to drunkenness, you know? So sometimes you just use the words that relate to them in that context, to help them to get really what the meaning is. It's basically, you know, the cleaning from the wine, the alcohol cleans the wound. The oil kind of protects it. And then bandaging it protects it even more. Yeah. So those are some aspects in there that sometimes you need to help people live with, because otherwise they get so stuck on what is this wine about and this oil about, that they won't listen to the rest of the story anymore. Yeah? Because you need to keep relating to them and keep them in the story. But hey, while I'm kneeling down here, what could happen to me?
You could have been robbed too.
Yeah, these thugs could come back. Right. That's right. Now, in our context, hey, that's true. That may be quite a possibility, unless you were around and probably already. But you know what? I was with one group, and I was just bringing that question out. They said, "Well, but how about if he, you know, basically was there even a risk for him to do that?" They said, "No." I said, "How come?" They said, "Okay, you know, the Bushmen." This is with the Bushmen I was. If anything like that happen, it would be indeed on the pathway, which is the open way. And so they would definitely scat. They would not stay there. And say, that's no issue. Okay. So I don't want to draw issues that are not really there for them and say, well, but you know, that was really a risk. No, that's not what the story is about. Yeah? The story was about he did what he did. And he did it committed because he gave quite some valuables. Wine and oil were quite valuable at that point. Yeah. But not only that, he put him on his animal, he said. Where did he take him? Yeah, was it the Hyatt Regency or which one was it? The Holiday Inn, right? No. I don't know. Maybe it was a 5-star, 4-star, I don't know. But he took him to a place to stay the night. Well, the thing why I'm doing this is most people that are actually very rural, they don't have inns. But they do have people in places where they know they can stay. So he took them to a place where people normally stay overnight. And that communicates. And that's actually what he's talking about. And he took care of him there. And then in the morning when he was leaving, he did what? Okay. Now, did I mention how much?
No.
Does the Bible and the story tell us how much? Well, that's not what he gave him then, though. You're right there. You're exactly on. That's what happens next. So I'm coming to you on that one next. But at this point, it does say specifically the coins in the Bible. And when you read all your concordances, you can see, okay, well, it's about 2 days' wages. Okay. Without getting personal, no, I can't do that. Because I was going to ask how much Jerry makes and how much actually the policeman makes here. And that would probably be a little bit personal, wouldn't it? But I just asked, okay, so was it the wages of the president of the country or somebody who does manual labor? We don't know. We don't know exactly. Because if it was really manual labor or what level of manual labor it was. So we have to be careful in that. Because that's basically, in the research, we think it was manual labor. But nobody is there to really have to confirm that back. So that's why I say, okay, he gave money. He gave off his resources. Because the next one that you talked about is the key one. If this is not enough, when I come back, then I'll pay the difference. Yeah? So even if this was money of a day's wages labor, like in South Africa, you guys were there, you know what? Basically, manual labor doesn't pay anything. Doesn't matter what race you are. But if you have educated, it just goes up like right away this much. So for them, manual labor would not be worth anything because, you know, for me, that would be like buying a meal. But for them, that's their whole day and everything else that they need to take care of. So, you know, I try to stay away from things that actually become confusing for them because I can go to more generic. Sometimes we have to do that to help them. And in this way, they know that he gave money. And yes, at whatever level it was at least those two coins. They were gold coins, I think, if I understand right. Might be wrong on that one, too. I've not looked them up, Jerry. But anyway, that's not that important. See how easily this gets sidetracked? We want to stick to the story. Why? Because the key is to help them to get into the story. And if I get busy with all that figuring out, they're already way gone. Because they may not even be using money yet, except unless they go to town. Believe it or not, a lot of people are still bartering and trading in some of these areas. So to confuse them is not very helpful. Generic, he gave him money. And that second part of if there's anything else that was needed. Now, if he was almost dead, we think, oh, he probably was up to for a few days and he was up going and gone. Well, how do we know? He might have been in a half a year. We don't have broken legs, broken bones, concussion. We've no clue how severe it was. But this man, did he make a limit to it? No. He said, whatever, right?
Whatever it takes, I'll do it.
That's right. So the simple question came back to this man who had been teaching the law. What was the question? Which of these is your neighbor? And basically, what was the answer? You remember?
The one that showed compassion.
Now, I went to that one too. Like people said, he didn't mention a name, Samaritan. Because he couldn't even mention that one. Well, I don't know if he could or not. We can't judge that. God didn't give us it in the story. But did you know what? He did mention and did recognize what? That it was the man who showed
compassion.
That's what it was about. And then simply he tells him, go do likewise. Whoa, what a powerful story, isn't it? In a real sense, if you get into it that way. Because there are several people that are actually involved that we can look at and say, who am I in this story? And that's one way to approach a story. To allow people to think, who are you in this story right now? Are you like this teacher of the law? And I don't want you to answer, especially in our culture. We make ourselves vulnerable and you already say, hey, thank you very much. And you don't want to listen anymore. So you want to be very careful with that. But you want to draw people in. Are you maybe like a priest or a Levite? Are you like the Samaritan? Are you like Jesus? Or are you the innkeeper? Then I ask, who would you like to be? And then I get different answers. But the beautiful thing about is who you like to be is okay. So if you really like to be, what does that mean in your life now? Now, I'm just going to ask a few of you to feel comfortable, and I'll make the closing with that. Who would you like to be?
Not the victim,
all right. Boy, I didn't mention him, did I? Well, you know what? Why not? Okay, but he was somebody to help him. Now go back into the earlier in the story. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your life or soul, strength, and your mind. Love your neighbor like yourselves. That demonstrating is what? Who Jesus is. If that was portrayed by the Samaritan, then what was portrayed to him? Well, he didn't die. But actually in a time of real need, and we don't know where this guy was, that actually helped him to see that kind of a love. Yeah, so I can understand. It would be my first reaction too. I don't want to be him, but same time, he could have died and not had the opportunity that was given to him. It's a beautiful opportunity, because that's what Christ was talking about, you know? Yeah? Who likes to be somebody instead of not somebody? Who would you like to be in this story? Anybody? You're afraid? What's the matter? You suddenly got quiet. Everybody was answering earlier. Or is it too late? You guys need to go. I know you got reservations at a restaurant and it's just about to go past and they're going to let somebody else get your table. I'm so sorry. Jerry warned me for this. This would happen. He said at 12:30 the lights turn out, but I'm surprised it's still on. I'm just teasing, okay? You want to be the Samaritan? That what you want to be too? Okay. Why would you want to be the Samaritan?
Show love.
Show love. Yeah.
Passion.
Yeah. That's quite an open commitment, isn't here, what he had. Are you really, and am I really willing to give that kind of a love? When I go home this afternoon to Waxhaw, 4.5-hour drive, am I ready to stop when God really brings somebody like that on my road? Am I in the store and I see somebody that needs that help? If God prompts me to share the gospel with somebody, have I that kind of a heart? When somebody just needs encouragement, can I come by and feel like be that encouragement? Tell me why.
Because when the Samaritan
Mm-hmm. But that innkeeper is, as you pointed out, he's going to have to stay there day by day.
Right.
Week by week.
Right.
Maybe month by month.
Yeah.
Providing the care, and he may be inconvenienced, but how does he know that the Samaritan will come back?
Yeah. See, isn't it beautiful? How we can find these different persons and the values in those? Did you all hear that, what she was saying? Yeah? Anybody didn't hear it? Okay, good. You didn't hear it. Oh, okay. No, you wanted to... Okay. Okay, tell me why. I love it, because that's also a beautiful thing. We want to be like him, so that's the whole story. That's another beautiful picture, isn't it? See how when you listen to a story and how it draws you out to find yourself. But my challenge is to each of you, try to find yourself in this story. And allow that to be every morning you wake up this week. We say, what did I commit to last Sunday as far as I want to be this person? Lord, help me today. So you can shine through me, as I, in earlier service, there was a beautiful song of abiding in Jesus, abiding in God, as I rest and abide, or am abandoned to you. And as you then flow through me, the beauty of it is, each of you here, uniquely different, young, older, with respect, Joe, you know, in every way, God has a plan for your life, to shine through you. Remember, our purpose that he created us was for fellowship with him. And it all started good in the beginning. There was nothing wrong. There was life. He's going to restore that. If we are willing to open ourselves up to him and be changed by him. And that change is actually that he wants to work in my life, primarily. So he can have fellowship with me. Sounds selfish. No, that's what God wants. So with you, everybody here. And as that happens, the abiding in him, he will shine through us. And that's the beauty of the underlying aspects of this story and the beauty of the answers I hear from everybody. As you're looking at who you feel you could be in this story. It's because of what Jesus did, isn't it? He is the one that God used to really bring us back to him again. To take care of what we cannot fix. And we remember that when you have the communion together. And that's what we're closing the service with, to just remember that it's truly him in us, shining through us, each of us, uniquely different, but none of us any less than anybody else, including this little grandbaby that you're holding there, great-grandbaby. Because God has plans, because he loves, really loves you in this broken and this corrupt and this crazy world. And he won't fix everything in this world. Because this world is going to remain the same with a new life in you until the future plan that God has for us, we become part of. And you know what? Actually, in the end of the Bible, it starts over the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, huh? You know, in the last part of the Bible, that thing is gone. God dealt with that issue. Because of Jesus. And that's what we do when we have actually communion. We remember what he did for us. That's, see, there's a celebration today. Jerry?